You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.
And now, it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thanks for making us a part of your Wednesday? Yeah, we've got What You Got Wednesday today.
The irony is that Steven Tyler kind of looks like a lady.
He has that thing with the scarves.
Yeah, he's got the long hair and big lips. And
wears a lot of jewelry.
Wears a lot of jewelry. He kind of, if we're looking into stereotypes, Steven Tyler's channeled that.
I read their autobiography, which was a pretty interesting read.
That's a good song, though. Makes that me want to watch Mrs. Doubtfire, which I haven't seen in a good two decades.
That was in their midst, Ben, of their like first reboot. They've had several career reboots.
Yeah.
And that was their like first one in the 80s, where they were like really good at the 70s. They burned bright, then had some personal issues that caused them to be less than productive.
Intravenous drug use.
For several years.
Yeah.
You know, the what kicked off their kind of inspiration to get it together and have that reboot in the 80s? A rap group named Run DMC.
Yep.
Blew them up. And said, actually, it was just Steven and Joe who hated each other at the time. And they said, yeah, we want to sample. And they actually thought the song was called Toys in the Attic, but the album was called Toys in the Attic. But anyway, they were like, we want to sample your song. And then they said, we want to put you in the music video. And they said, well, we hate each other, but we're really desperate for money, so we'll do it.
And Walk This Way was born.
And then they had like, hey, we got to get it together. We can have a thing again. And then what was the Alicia Silverstone music video? That was right there in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Was that
Crazy?
Janie? Crazy, yeah. And then Janie's Got a Gun and all that. Yeah. And then they had another reboot around, surrounding some sort of terrible asteroid movie.
Yeah.
That was like when I was a senior in high school.
Just to Hear You Breathing song. Yeah.
Which is all ancient history to Sarah.
Yeah, all before her, she was alive.
She's like, yeah, I'm aware of Aerosmith.
But she's been on Rock and Roller Coaster. She knows Aerosmith. She's seen the intro with Steven Tyler. They're late to the concert, and you've got to ride the limousine. Which is a great ride.
But I think Sarah's generation just lumps Aerosmith all together and doesn't realize it's like three reboots over a 35-year span.
Yeah, right. Constantly rebranding, which might have something to do with our What You Got Wednesday today. So,
ooh, good tease, yeah. Ben. That's coming up at 11:30, which is nice. Ben, it's a big day in the Valley. You know, we had Locke talk last week where he talked about when the O2 Olympics announcement was made. I'd love to hear from listeners out there about comparable moments in the Utah sports landscape. I'm sure there were several big ones that came before my time. I remember the Pac-10/12 ceremony at the Capitol where, when that whole thing, became official, there were several Big 12 moments at BYU. And then today, I think, should really rank high amongst them, I would guess, as there's going to be a big party down at Delta Center. 4 o'clock, right, Ben?
Kicks off at 4 o'clock. If you're just getting off work, I would tell you you'll probably be fine if you come in before 5. Knowing how those types of things work, I don't think you're going to miss a lot. I would get down there as early as you can. I mean, there's an article at KSL Sports and KSL News about traffic's expected to be busy because there are a lot of people are going to come down. Many as maybe 20,000 people are going to be down there. But come on down, hang out. And yeah, if you get off work at 4, still come down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It should be a big deal. It should be one of those things. And I think the community is eager to support the NHL coming here, and this is a great way to get it started and send the right message, you know, that this is going to be a well-supported franchise, because that's what's going to ultimately decide on its success or failure is if they get people through the gate, because the NHL is very reliant on gate. They get people through the gate, and they get the buzz and the community support that makes these things a success.
And first impressions matter, and not just for the players. Like, the players are going to be happy here. We've talked about that. You've got a bunch of 22 to 27-year-old kids living the absolute dream, going from an area in Arizona that is a great city and town, and they had their dedicated followers, but they were playing in a 5,000-seat stadium that didn't always sell out, with a horrendous owner, to a new owner in it's only going to be 14,000 seats, but 14,000 compared to 5,000 is a significant upgrade at the Delta Center starting next year, with a fan base that is so hungry for this, that is so hungry for this second major professional sports franchise of the major four sports. Go down there and make a huge impression and let them know that they're going to be superstars here and beloved here, and that Utah has their back all the way. And again, not just because of the players, but because the rest of the world's going to be watching as well. The sports world is going to be watching. They want to see how you greet it. As soon as they realized you could get sports to work professionally in Vegas, everything flocked to Vegas. Show that it is easy to do here. Show that it's easy to win here. Show that it's easy to sell tickets here. And we're only going to get more teams. So that's why I would say go make a big deal out of this. Show up, bring your family, be a part of it.
Get them set up with a sweet condo in American Towers?
Whatever.
Show them Lumpy's downtown?
Man, the more I learn about hockey and how it works, we've had a bunch of great articles from Jay Stevens at KSLSports.com. Chandler Holt's also written some. I love the design of contracts, of the hard cap. It's so
smart. Oh, it's
smart.
Really interesting.
You know, every first-round pick has the same contract. You get a base, like, $900,000 deal. Great. You're a first-year player. Yeah, you're welcome to the league. You can still go up and down between the NHL, the AHL, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, you all get paid $950,000 because you're young and you're probably not going to be the biggest difference maker on the planet. And if you are, great. But you have a chance to help your team win because you're not so exorbitantly expensive from year one. It's great. I love the design.
I do too, because I think it's interesting. I mean, who's it good for? I mean, it's extremely team friendly.
Yeah, very team friendly.
And it is the reason that there was no hockey for a year and a half.
Gary Bettman and the owner said, "We're going to take everything from the players' union.
We're going to crush a union."
And they got it.
And they did it. And if you remember hockey at the time, and I have to go back and look at some of the specific contracts, but, you know, it was what were the years, Ben? I mean, it was when, like, Crosby was young and so things were getting.
It was right there with the NBA.
It was.
If I remember. So
yeah,
it was like 2010, 2011, 2012.
And contracts were getting really, like, weird and ludicrous. And the NHL, the owners said, well, we can't afford that. So kind of a do-or-die situation for us. And they went to the mat for a year and a half. But what they got is a very team-friendly situation. I think it does make things interesting. I would guess some of the more notable players are a little grumpy with it. But you know what? It's, in theory, set up the league to succeed because the NHL is not the NFL,
right,
or the NBA. So I think I'm really going to enjoy, I talked about this a little last week, Ben, I'm going to really enjoy getting into the minutiae of that. I love that. I love the game that's behind the game. You know what
Sidney
I mean?
Sidney Crosby, who we were talking to Elliot Friedman last year, or last week, was talking about how he's, you know, the LeBron of the NBA. And everyone knows
the NHL,
Sid the
yeah.
Kid. Everyone knows Sidney, of the NHL. Sidney Crosby, everyone knows Sid. He signed a 12-year, $104 million deal. His average deal is $8 million, $8.5 million. Like, that's, I understand you're right, why he would be grumpy. But, like, you have a hard cap. You can't have one player who makes $40 million or $50 million a la Bradley Beal, and you can't afford to pay anybody else. Like, I would get why being an owner in the NHL would rule.
Yeah, you're like, it's cool.
It's great. I know exactly what my salary cap is going to be every year.
And I'm going to have 8 years or whatever it is to decide if anybody's any good.
Yeah. I mean, this was a 12-year deal he signed.
It's great.
That must be a veteran thing. You can sign 12-year contracts.
Great for the team.
Yeah. So, I'm excited about it. I'm pro player. I'm happy for players to be able to earn money. But I like the simplicity of the lack of a luxury tax and why do some teams spend so much and why do some teams spend so little. I like that's out the window.
If you're like me and you don't necessarily think player empowerment has been a good thing for the NBA, the NHL might be your bag.
Absolutely.
So and if we're talking about as a whole, this is better for the league.
Yeah.
This allows things like Ryan just stepping in and going, yeah, I'll pay it. Whatever. Yeah. Billion, whatever. Yeah, I'll just pay it.
So.
Because it's going to be consistent. It's set up to be that way.
And I'm excited to see the players tonight. The players are going to be there. I think you're going to get introductions from them. I imagine you'll hear from the coach. I imagine you'll hear from Bill Armstrong. I'm excited to see what they do. I don't know who all's talking. I don't know if Ryan's going to be there. I don't know what local officials are going to be there. But it's going to be a big event. It's going to be a major event for the state of Utah. And I'm excited to see what everyone looks like and what the vibe is like and what the ice is like. And it's going to be fun.
It can be warm.
It's going to be beautiful outside. Go get a hot dog. Free J-Dogs.
It's supposed to be like 75 or something today. Yeah,
right.
It's supposed to be like gorgeous.
Not a better day to tell all the new players that this is what it's like year round.
tell your boss that, oh, my kid must have brought something home from school.
Got a cough.
Just duck out a little early. Canceled a meeting. I'll do it tomorrow. Should be fun.
No, it's going to be a great party.
Everyone
should go. Absolutely everybody should go. Welcome these guys. And you know what? Do it for yourself. I mean, this is your team. This is not somebody else's team. This is not something you have to sell yourself on. This is a Utah major sports franchise making their debut in Salt Lake City. So go support them. This is about you as well. Very cool.
And, take tracks.
Absolutely.
Let's not clog up the thoroughfare for those of us that might need to get in and out.
I'll be there. Say hi. I'm excited to be down there.
Yeah, it should be really cool. And I'm excited about the whole thing. This is amazing. I mean, having been a part of this sports landscape around here for a while now, I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about the whole prospect. And I think it's nothing but good for our community. It's somebody that's also invested in specifically the Wasatch Front, I suppose, but Utah as a whole, as our radio signal goes quite the distance, Ben.
Yep.
I think this is good for everybody.
I went and watched a rec league hockey game last night, which I had a friend doing it, so I was happy to support them. But like, I was just like into the intricacies of hockey all of a sudden. And with all due respect, what they were doing compared to what any organized hockey is actually going to be like is totally different. And I was like, I was geeked about the game yesterday. I got into the game yesterday. I can't imagine what this is going to be like when it's an actual NHL game.
You know what's funny about some of our smaller communities, Ben? You drive down to Richfield number of examples, but I'm specifically familiar with Richfield and have noticed. You know what you see a lot of? Like Jazz flags.
Everywhere.
And you know, you talk to people, they're like, oh, yeah, your station makes it down here. Oh, yeah, I tune in for the Jazz news. Oh, we did a remote in Price, and we had this guy, and I can't for the life of me think of what exactly his occupation was. It was Forest Service or something. Mm-hmm. But he was basically like stationed on top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And we were in Price, and he was like, He came down. I mean, it took him a while. Like, he came down. He did the whole thing. We were doing a remote at the Natural History Museum there.
That's great.
And he comes through. He's like, it's so good to see
glad
you.
You're here. He's like, a fire spotter. Yeah, sitting on top of a mountain.
He's like, I just sit up there all day and tune into the radio. It's great. I can't believe you're doing a remote anywhere close to me. But it's funny. There are a lot of, you know, a lot of cool places in this state. And people are jazz fans. I mean, and they drive. They come in. You know, I think part of the reason you like the idea, I mean, there are lots of reasons, but you like the idea of keeping the arena in Salt Lake City is it's in between Ogden and Provo. Mm-hmm. And we've pretty much grown together at this point, right? I mean, there's not really all that much undeveloped. If you take I-15 from Brigham City to Spanish Fork, mm-hmm. at least, right? You're not running into very much open space anymore.
No, not at all.
And downtown Salt Lake's still in the middle of it. And so it's still easy to get to if you're coming from north, south, east, or west. Two major freeways in this country meet and are actually the same freeway for, what is it, like 3 miles mm-hmm. in Salt Lake City. So I think it's a great place for it. Because
it's gonna be awesome.
I think it's more than just – I mean – there's a reason Ryan wants to call it Utah, right? There's a reason Larry wanted to call it, or I guess it would have been Battistone. But anyway,
yeah,
because yeah, you can make it a thing. Things are spread out here, and people identify with what's close. It's the reason I've kind of tried to pretend to like the Raiders.
Yeah,
they're a really hard franchise to like.
The Rockies are the same way.
Yeah,
right. The Rockies are the exact same way.
Yeah, it's
like the idea of trying. Root for the team that's close and has some area.
Kind of want to jump. Oh, this is so bad. So bad.
We get Rockies games aired locally, and yeah, they just haven't been very good. That's what's exciting about this Coyotes team is that they are on the rise, and now it's the Utah Hockey Club. But they are on the rise, and this is going to be an easier team to root for.
Jump in.
And, you know, what's our freeway that runs north-south?
I-80?
80. I mean, that goes all the way down to...
No, north-south is 15.
Yeah,
east,
15.
West
so that, okay.
80.
Mm-hmm. It goes down all the way to Arizona. Yep. I mean, there's going to be Arizona hockey fans
it
now.
It goes to L.A. and then on to San Diego.
So how do we get to Phoenix? Just can't get there?
Phoenix, you have to switch freeways.
Oh, my gosh.
You really haven't made this drive much,
no,
have
no, you? I've never been there. I've never been to Arizona. I maybe cut the corner going to Vegas.
It's funny. I told Ben, like, I think I drive the I-15 south at least 3 or 4 times a year. And you're like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. No, I don't do that. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to have this whole linear north-south run of the United States.
I guess hockey. You go, what, like east because you're a Bear Lake guy?
Mm-hmm.
So that's more your freeway.
Idaho, Wyoming.
That you're,
yeah.
You do that direction a little mm-hmm. bit more? Okay. All right. Makes more sense.
Northern.
But, yeah, 15 goes, basically takes a right to get to St. George and continues
right.
on right to get to Vegas and then on down to L.A. and San Diego.
Well, hey.
I-80 ends in San Francisco.
Okay. So if you're in St. George, drive on up. There's going to be people coming up to see this hockey team
oh,
from
yeah,
all over.
I totally agree.
I mean, there are people driving up today making the plan to come see this NHL team. And if you're in earshot of us, which is a wide area, come join us. Come party. I know we're going to be out on the concourse.
Ben told me before the show he's going to be wearing all pads. Like,
wearing the
like
pillows.
Fully padded.
Going to goalie. The goalie.
He's expecting a big crowd. And he figures this is not only a demonstration or an embrace of hockey, but also, you know, if he's got to club somebody with his forearm, he's going to do it.
I'm worried what it's going to do the blades on my skates walking around on the cement.
Well, you can just sling those over your shoulder. You know, you
I don't have
the,
to wear
you
them.
Tie the laces together and you sling them because, you know, that's how you look cool. Like, you're. Like, if there was some ice around, I'd skate on it.
He's going to wear a White Sox hat.
Go out, decked out in baseball gear.
Zing! Zing! Sarah is on her game today. She's been up since 2 in the morning, and she's still in top form.
Still ready to take a shot at me, like all Floridians. I have a sign on my back. I don't have any hockey gear. I'm going to look tonight. The Jazz store, the team store, right inside the front door. It's an NHL store right now. I'm excited to see what it looks like. I don't know what's going to be there, but I'm excited to see what it looks like.
If you see Ben tonight, just yell at him, this isn't Chicago, bro!
It'll be interesting to see how they share the branding inside the arena between NHL and between.
Oh, isn't that the beauty of digital, though, these days
yes,
for the
you
most
just
part?
You swap
you're just going to swap it out like that. I mean, I imagine there are some things that will remain permanent. You know, you'd have...
Or you might have a full NBA store and a full NHL store.
Right.
On opposite sides of the concourse.
I mean, I would bet you that's part of the...
Or maybe they just split it.
Part
but
of the reno. They'll make it cool.
Why not have both? They're going to do a good job. Yeah.
You know, honestly, and I guess it was the Millers, but, you know, Jim Olsen still is with the Jazz, and he played a huge role in the renovation the first time. And, like, if that, honestly, they did a really good job. Like, if it's really cool. I know it's become kind of normal now, and maybe a lot of folks out there, I still have to remind myself, like, what the old building looked like. But they did a killer job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the entrance alone is a thousand times better than it was before.
Yep.
If you remember that. And what a pleasure it was to wait to get in the door there.
Yeah.
What a real treat that was. It's a zillion times better. Even down to the like the club level, you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about down there? Like I had my wedding reception in the old Toyota Club. I remember the old Toyota Club. The new Toyota Club, so nice. And not even that I'm complaining about the old one, but the new one is so cool. Ben, I know you wander around down there.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Tim and I. You'll sneak into your occasional dinner.
I was down there Friday for, and that's where they held the press.
Right, right.
You know what I would love for them to do, though? This is just personally. Put the media entrance on the north side of the building.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't care about us.
Well, I'm just saying.
I know that we have to walk all the way around. Yeah, I know. You know, the media, I used to just be able to duck into this door. I'd like flashed something at somebody standing on the side, and it was like, hey, come on in. But, you know, those days are gone.
No, and they won't because that's where the tracks entrance is. So that'll always be fan
side. Oh, yeah. Media is, we're stuck on the south side, dude. We're stuck over there.
But you don't have to. They can put it on the north side. That'd be great. Or a tunnel between Triad and a.
Oh, now you're talking. Let's do that.
I'll take that.
Just a little,
from our parking lot.
Yeah,
over.
right straight to my studio.
Let's get on the horn with the decision makers.
That would be a tunnel / bridge.
Whatever it takes.
Right there.
Yeah.
Let's get Jeremy Potter on the phone.
Start digging.
Let's get the engineering underway.
Get your Andy Dufresne hat on and start digging
a
hole.
Let's make this thing happen.
Tonight.
I'm willing to be personally involved.
4 o'clock, again, if you're not there right at 4, or you're getting off work at 4 and you're debating on whether going down, go down. You'll still catch it.
Yeah, why not? The weather's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
It's a great way to spend a Thursday. Snag the young ones.
Be a part of history. This is a major historical event in our state. This is something we're going to revisit 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and be like, remember when this happened? This is the day.
Is your friend the mayor going to be there?
I would imagine.
We know the governor is going to be there because, you know, he's a Jazz guy.
Yeah.
He's probably excited about the thing coming to town. Who else important is going to be there? Post Malone?
Is
he a hockey guy?
I would bet there would be some Jazz players, I would imagine. I know Lowry said he was sticking around in town because his kids are still in school, and he's a hockey fan, so.
There better be at least one Osmond.
Okay. Do you have a preference?
No, I'm sure they're both fine people.
Okay.
But I feel like the community needs to put its best foot forward, and I believe that foot includes an Osmond.
I thought I saw Donnie running around here not too long ago on the news side.
Yeah, man.
On the TV side.
Come down and do some Technicolor Dreamcoat. That'd be pretty rad.
I'm going to wear full hockey pads. Donnie Osmond is going to wear his own Joseph and the Technicolor Dream Coat. Totally unannounced, just to make a show.
Utah Dream Coats?
Dream Coats. Okay, you actually might be onto something. The Dream Coats is a pretty great hockey name.
Are you kidding me?
Did
we just do that? Did we just name the team?
The Dream Coats would be
the Dream Coats?
I mean, I get it has some religious undertones that people might back off of.
So do we.
But the Dream Coats is a great name. That would be an incredible hockey name.
Have Donnie up front.
And you could do whatever you wanted to with your colors, right?
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Technicolor rainbow.
Yeah, right. You can do whatever you want. Okay, the Dream Coats is the best hockey name I've ever heard.
Utah Dream Coats. Trademark it. Who do we know? Where's my phone? Get on that quick. All right. Stay tuned. Top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you, nominate the U Sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination to kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right, time for the top three stories of the day. kslsports.com brought to you by J. Brooks Jewelers, not one but two locations to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fash Place Mall, the other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. Just saying, Mother's Day, not that far off.
Right around the corner.
So, hint, hint. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Another night of NBA playoffs.
Good games last night. Two of the three road teams won. Well, I said maybe all three teams would win.
You were close.
You'll have to forgive me. I thought maybe the Phoenix Suns would care that they were an NBA team and that they were in maybe their last year of having an opportunity to contend for a title.
Wrong again, Ben.
With their current roster. What a joke. What a joke the Phoenix Suns have turned into.
And now Ted Cruz is hurt.
Well, Grayson Allen rolled his ankle in the first game and then really sprained it in the last game. I would be shocked if we see him again this series, which means I'd be shocked if we see him this season. The Suns were throwing dirt on themselves at halftime. Anthony Edwards had not been good. Karl Anthony Towns had had foul trouble in the first half, and they went into the break, and the Suns were only up one, and they were like, oh, man, like, A, we're not good in the second half, and B, the Wolves just played a terrible first half, and they're right on our heels. We don't have a chance, and they didn't. They got blown out. They're the worst fourth-quarter team in the NBA. They have no depth at all, so they were exhausted. And the Wolves are just embarrassing them. I mean, they smell blood in the water, and they are jumping on them like rabid dogs. It's pretty fun to watch, actually. It's fun to watch how well Minnesota plays.
And Jaden McDaniels is awesome.
He's awesome. He's exactly awesome. What you want. He doesn't jump on any pump fakes. He hit a bunch of shots yesterday, which he doesn't have to do to be a great player. But you know what? Every guy in the NBA can score. It's that he brings the defense every night. And then if once a year it's his night to score 25 points, he'll do it.
If the Jazz keep their late picks, and I'm not talking about the lottery pick. I'm talking about the late picks. I mean, just because Draft Express prints it does not mean it's just fact. Was Enes Kanter the third best player
right.
in that draft?
No, he was not.
Not even close. There are guys, and you heard Justin Zanuck talking about it. There are guys every year that you can grab at that part of the draft and make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't even have to go to the extremes, like the second rounders that hit a big, like Jimmy Butler or Tony Parker. But you can go to these Nikola Jokic, but you can go to these late first round picks and find. I mean, Jaden McDaniels might be, you know, an unfair precedent to set because he is so good, but you should be able to find somebody if you do your homework right and make the right decision. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but that's what those guys want to do. I'm sure that they hope Bryce Sensabaugh could become that.
2020 was the last bad draft. Now, ironically, Anthony Edwards went at the top and was the one good player. And then we had no idea what to make after it. And there was no NCAA tournament and players didn't get to do draft workouts. So there was an issue there. And that's part of the reason why this happened. But to your point, at number 21, a young man named Tyrese Maxey, who just won Most Improved Player and is going to be a 8-time All-Star in his career. He's
baller.
Awesome. At number 25, Emmanuel Quickley. Awesome player now for the Toronto Raptors, but has been an absolutely terrific player, 19-point-per-game career average. At number 28, Jaden McDaniels. Looks like he's going to be in the conversation for future Defensive Player of the Year awards. Well, at least runner-up, because Victor Wembanyama is going to win it every year. And then at number 30 in that draft, a young man named Desmond Bane. And the Jazz came out of the barrel sucking their thumb because they got Udoka Azubuike.
They got Doke. Which stinks. And you know what? There were other teams in that draft that certainly missed.
Absolutely, of course.
And passed on all those guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto drafted Malachi Flynn, one spot ahead of Desmond Bane. The Knicks drafted Leandro Bolmaro, former Jazz man, part of the Rudy Gobert trade. Played 49 games over two seasons. Yeah, a lot of guys didn't make it. But
well, even if you think about this, Ben, you know, agents are hiding medical records for a reason, right? So you got to think that means at least three or four players that go in the first round, five maybe, are medically
unclear
right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes it murky, and you can find somebody back that late.
You might never see that again. The last six picks of the first round
are all ballers.
Were better than the first six picks of the first round. With the exception of Anthony Edwards, it goes James Wiseman, total bust. LaMelo Ball is good. He never plays. Patrick Williams is a bust. Isaac Okoro is fine, but he's a role player. Onyeka Okongwu is fine, but he's a role player. And the last six are Emmanuel Quickley, good. Peyton Pritchard, good. Yudoka Azubuike, bust. Jaden McDaniel, good. Malachi Flynn just scored 50, but might be on his way out of the league. And Desmond Bane, very good. So.
Real quick on the other games, Ben, Milwaukee can't guard, and that's a problem. And I realize Indiana is the ultimate flamethrower of a team, but that is going to be why Milwaukee doesn't make it to the finals.
No, it's why they're not going to make it out of this first round.
Yeah,
if
they can't guard.
If you don't get Giannis back. And here's the problem. When you think of the Indiana Pacers, you think of one player. You think of Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese last night had 12 points on four makes. It's like he's not doing anything. His hamstring is really bothering him. He can't do anything right, and they're still running
they're
up and
still
down.
They're still pouring on 125 points.
Yeah, all over you. So an absolute nightmare. And then Dallas evens the series on the road.
Which it shouldn't be all that unexpected. I think the Clippers could win in Dallas.
Neither of those teams care where they're playing. It matters if Kawhi's knee responds after playing 35 minutes last night.
And yeah, Ben, like, he hasn't played in a month.
Yeah.
Or it's not a month, but it's
9 games. Probably close to a month.
He hasn't played forever, so you just drop him in playing 35 minutes. I know it's the playoffs, but, I mean, he wasn't good.
No, he wasn't, and they weren't good because they were trying to figure out what his rhythm was, and he couldn't shoot, and he couldn't get past Luka on drives. And if he responds in Game 3, if he can play, watch his knee, if he can play, it's a best-of-five series, and it is. I don't care. It doesn't matter where these teams are playing at all. Everyone can win on everyone's home floor. These players are all good. They all have a ton of playoff experience. It's just a best-of-five series now.
There's a reason coaches like bringing you, like, we'll bring you off the bench for a game.
Yeah.
You know? Go out there and let it fly for 20 minutes. Let's see how it goes.
Only two games tonight. Miami at Boston, the worst series being played. And then the other 8-1, Pelicans, Thunder.
Any thoughts on that? I mean, Boston's, yeah.
Boston's going to run roughshod over.
And then Pelicans, Thunder was close game one. Be close game two?
I doubt it. I think the Pelicans probably needed that game one if they wanted to have a chance to make this a long series. I could be wrong. They've played pretty well in this play-in tournament and first game there because their defense is pretty legit. And you hope Brandon Ingram's better than he was in game
one. Oklahoma City, though, is super flawed. So,
well, they can't rebound.
That means that anybody could beat them.
And like Jonas Valanciunas will grab 20 rebounds.
Yeah, the Pelicans are big.
Yeah.
They're randomly big.
At every position. Herb Jones is big, Trey Murphy's big, Jonas Valanciunas is big, Brandon Ingram's big. They're really big outside of CJ McCollum.
They might. I mean, when we talk about playoffs being all about matchups, I don't think the Pelicans are that great, but they're randomly a bad matchup for Oklahoma City because they're huge.
Yep. Something to consider for the Jazz in the draft.
Yeah.
Get a big guy. You can always use size at positions.
Next.
Number two, Kevin Young makes his first hire for the BYU basketball staff.
Starting to fill this out a little bit. He's seeing the light at the end of the tunnel that is his NBA coaching career because, as we mentioned, the Phoenix Suns are probably not long for the NBA playoffs.
It's a good thing that they made a hire, Ben, and I like the hire for this reason. They hire Brandon Dunson. He's been most recently at Stanford. On the staff there, but his background includes being an assistant at Nevada, Denver, Cal State Fullerton, and an associate head coach at Arizona Christian University. And he's actually from Illinois and played 1 year at Arizona State. But you know what I like about that background? This guy knows a lot of people.
Knows a lot of people.
And I don't know what specifically his job is going to be, but that tells me that the likelihood of him being pretty dialed into the recruiting scene is probably pretty good.
According to Mitch Harper, KSL Sports, he began his career at Stanford as director of basketball development from 2016 to 2018, where he helped implement recruiting strategies.
Okay.
That's the name of the game.
There you go.
Recruiting. Now it's different in 2016 and 2018 at Stanford versus today's NIL. But that's your priority. Go recruit. Go bring in bodies. And he's 34. He's young. Like you said, he knows a lot of people. Certainly knows the mountain area from where he's lived, from Colorado over to all of Northern California. That's the type of guy you're looking for.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, Ben. This needed to kind of be the first coaching hire. Who's going to be the one that's plugged in? who's going to be the one, because this is really important for an NBA coach coming into college. I don't think either one of us is all that concerned about the coach coming up with a game plan that will best suit his vision for BYU.
We will see.
But I mean, I'm fairly confident about that. I mean, NBA teams aren't considering this guy because he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, absolutely.
But what he's not is a college basketball guy. And he's not a high school basketball guy. And you got to find somebody who's plugged in, or it's just not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so it would appear that this is a step toward doing that. Anyway, I really like his background.
Yep. Right age, everything.
Everything.
Good hire.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next.
Number three, the welcome party for the Utah NHL team is today.
Kicks off at 4 o'clock. Like I said, if you're getting off work at 4, I think you're still going to have time to roll down, take part in it. Players, I would imagine, would come a little bit later. This is just about getting everyone excited and welcoming these guys and welcoming the owners and, well, the owner is Ryan, but welcoming the GMs and welcoming the coaches and the players. And then it's about the fans, too. Welcome to the NHL. This is your chance to get your first look. It's free. Free food. Can't beat that. Take the kids down. It's going to be awesome.
The buzz of an expansion team is pretty cool because it is new. And, you know, the best franchises capitalize on that. And then it establishes in the community. And then, you know, you have a team who's been around for 30, mm-hmm. 40 years. But the newness part of it, not the expansion, I guess, but the newness part of it is really cool. And it lasts for several years. I remember even back, Ben, when the Buzz were rebirthed down at, I don't even remember what it was originally called. Was it Franklin Covey originally?
Yeah.
Man, that place was packed forever. You know, baseball was back. And they still draw fine. Now I'm not. But, you know, there was a huge buzz, so to speak, surrounding that. You know, the newness factor of it. When RSL was new, and they were putting a lot of butts in the seats at Rice-Eccles Stadium. There were a lot of people who came and checked it out and got into it. And then they did some winning and really established and now have been around for how long? 15 years? Longer?
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, right around there.
So, and they have a great supporting. So this initial part is really fun, but it's also really important because you got to lay the groundwork and then the franchise has to take it from there and take the support from there. But it's tough if you came in and there isn't going to be that buzz. So I think the party's going to be super fun, but it's also going to be a way to send a message. Like, this is going to be a thing here.
Absolutely. The expectation, I mean, we're going to show up. The fans are going to show up. We want you to show up.
It's
going to
be a thing here. Hockey's going to be a thing here.
It's going to be huge. And the party's going to be fun. And I credit the Jazz for doing it. Credit the, should call it SEG Media now or whatever, SEG Entertainment. But
did you see any Olympic hockey when it was here in 02?
I didn't.
Saw several games. I think I saw three. And I saw one that was in the medal round, although not the gold medal round. It was like the Czechs and the Russians, I think. And my point being, tickets weren't all that hard to come by for Olympic hockey. I would guess that won't be true the next
time.
The Olympics are here.
Yep. Absolutely. We're going to know the players. Might even have some locals.
Yeah, all that.
Participating. It's going to be awesome. So go on down today.
The Maverick Center did a good job hosting that event, though. I guess it would be called the E Center at the time. That's where the gold medal round was. Because the arena across the street from us was not really prepared to host hockey, and now we're going to have to make do with it for a year. Yeah, but the renovations can be pretty cool.
I'm excited. The NBA product could improve both on the floor and the arena for NBA games. It's very good, and it could still get better.
The fans are the key component in that. You want to talk? I mean, there are certain ways that the Delta Center, you know, adds to the atmosphere. Don't get me wrong, but the fans are the key component of that. Don't lose sight. I mean, it's them that makes things loud. And also the home court advantage, Ben, is it about the rabid fans? Kind of. I mean, there's something in that. Or is it about our altitude?
Helps.
So you know what? Yep. If the NBA like loudness factor, I guess, takes a little bit of a hit, yeah, it's all right.
Yep.
It'll still be a home court advantage. All right. Stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next, What You Got Wednesday at 11:30. We always look forward to that, kind of. More Jake and Ben coming up next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You don't sense the urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us part of your day. Want to remind you, it's our 50 segment after all. It's brought to you by our friends at Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows.
You know what's nice about Peach? Because we've seen it firsthand. We've done a lot of remotes down there. Really laid back. You're not going to have someone jump on you as soon as you walk in the door trying to sell you something that you don't want.
Oh, no.
Come in, try the doors. If you want to talk, if you want to walk through the showroom, they'll walk with you. If not, they'll let you test everything out. Go at your own pace.
Well,
really cool.
Like a couple of those folks are like engineers.
Yeah, right.
You know, no, they're right there in the office. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're
absolutely
not like salespeople. Yeah,
it's not a commission-based sales staff.
That's not a thing. Ben, I've kind of alluded to this in the past, but can we do away with something in sports?
Okay.
The thank you from the team that you just parted ways with. Or the thank you from the player to the, I don't know, like maybe that one's okay, the thank you from the player to the community or something like that. But the Jets are tweeting out, thank you, Zach Wilson. What are you thanking Zach Wilson for? You ruined his career and drummed him out of town. Thanks for what?
We have hurt the star players. Not that we need to worry too much about star players, but we have hurt the star players and the truly meaningful players on the planet in every sport by having a welcome back video for George Niang.
That is the pinnacle. It's
we
the worst.
We don't need a welcome back video for George Niang.
We don't need one for anybody.
If
retire after
honor
your career,
Karl
maybe?
Karl Malone.
Yeah, right.
When Karl Malone comes back as a member of the Lakers and you want to say, Karl, 19 years or 18 years, whatever it was, unbelievable. What a ride. Thank you. If you're, these players who are finishing their career somewhere else, fine. George Niang doesn't need it.
See, I even think for Carl.
Okay, fine. If you want to have a no rule, a rule of zero tolerance, that's fine.
Let's wait until after your career. And you know what? I was at Karl Malone's retirement press conference, and they had it at Delta Center.
Yep.
And Larry Miller was up on the dais sitting right next to Carl. And, and then they honored him as he came back, and then the statue and all that perfectly appropriate. But he's on the other team. I gotta honor somebody who's on the other team. Come on. And then you're expected to.
Yeah. And then it's like a thing if you don't.
Yeah, the Jets don't need to thank Zach. Well, what are you thanking Zach Wilson for? He doesn't want your thanks, I would guess. He watched Hard Knocks. Your whole franchise just badmouthed him the whole time. That was the whole thing.
And with all due respect, like, this is why you make tens of millions of dollars. Like, that is the thank you of being in the NFL.
You put your hurt feelings in your pocket and you move on.
Right. You're mad at Utah because they don't give you a thank you video when you return. Come on. Certain players, maybe. You say no, that's fine. But yeah, I'm with you.
But see, let's just get rid of it. And then the players that need it or whatever, you can just lean on something and be like, oh, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Right. Does BYU need to send a big thank you to Mark Pope?
Nope.
No.
They don't need to say it. No, it's fine. Trust me, the success he had at BYU, your mutual success, he really benefited from it.
Yeah.
You don't know him. You don't.
$30 million he's getting from Kentucky.
You don't know that dude anything.
Not a bit. If he wants to thank BYU, great. That's on the individual. You can do that. That's his choice. I don't have any problem with that. Players want to say thank you to the team that they played for, great. Probably good to maintain that business like any employee. The teams don't need to do it. I'm totally with you.
So let's just blanket get rid of it. And then that way we don't feel like this semi-obligated, well, we should do it, or I guess we should. I mean, I really like George Niang's minivan commercial. We just don't do that. You want to come back after you retire? We'll have you a part
yeah, we'll
of a,
you back.
We'll have you a part of a night. We'll give away Ronnie Brewer bobbleheads, and we'll have a really good time.
Also, you know what? The fans are smart enough to recognize, like, if Jordan Clarkson's not playing for the Jazz next year and he comes back on another team, give him a standing ovation. He doesn't have to have the video. Like, it can be organic because the fans are smart enough to know that Jordan was a fun player here and was beloved. Now, he will get a thank you video. I'm not going to pretend the Jazz wouldn't do that. Obviously, they'd do a huge one. But fans are smart enough to know who to celebrate and who to not care about. They don't care when Dante Exum comes back to Salt Lake City anymore. But they know with the big players that come back.
Yeah, and listen, I'm glad for a lot of reasons that Donovan Mitchell got a fairly warm reception when he came back here. He played here for a long time, and he played really well and provided a lot of fun years for the Jazz fans. But what you got to realize is if he were booed or had a different type of reception, you know, people want to read into all that. And here's how you should. It's a TV show. People view it like a TV show. Ben, I pick random players to cheer for and cheer against just out of a hat. People do the same thing. People want to read into all this stuff. It's like, no. It's like this is a Jazz fan who wished Donovan Mitchell was still on the team and is somehow taking it personally that he's not. You brought up the incident with Gordon Hayward and the statue and all that. Like, people have a weird way of expressing themselves.
Yep, they do.
And a weird way of interpreting things. And just because some fans, like, I saw you tweeting out about a Philadelphia sports media beef.
That was good.
Listen, I know people who live in Philadelphia and have lived in Philadelphia, and they're perfectly lovely people. Some wingnuts got loose and booed Santa Claus, and now the whole, you know?
Yep.
It's like, I can say, well, yeah, some wingnut got loose and booed Santa Claus, not say all
that
whole Philly area. People from here love San Francisco and have relatives in the Bay Area. Do you remember when San Francisco Giants fans were throwing batteries at players in the bullpen and in left field?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are crazy.
Yep, they are.
We shouldn't sum up our feelings one way or another based on
the actions of a few.
The actions of like a big crowd.
Yeah.
You think about, you stuff 20,000 people into one place at one time. How many differences of like opinion and view of the world and view of sports, and not to mention fans wearing other teams stuff. Like, it's amazing that crazy stuff doesn't happen more.
Yeah.
I think.
The security guards are fighting for their life every minute.
Didn't Jokic's brother beat up somebody?
Yes, he did.
Was it bad? I haven't seen the video.
He punched a guy right in the face.
What was the provocation? Do we know?
Sounds like they just said something. Which, you know, Jokic's brothers all look like him, but somehow more muscly.
Did they get arrested?
The cops are getting involved, yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't just punch people.
No, you cannot. Especially if you're a 7-footer who looks like Nikola Jokic in the crowd.
But provoking the very large brother of player of the team probably
also a bad idea.
Is not the smartest move in the world.
Not everyone's smart.
I wish there was a had that coming loophole in the law.
Well, he deserved it.
I mean, I don't know if we could get that through, but like, could you look at certain circumstances and be like, oh, dude, he had that coming? I had a buddy who got beat up once, and everybody there was like, yeah, he had that coming.
Your officer, don't worry about it. He had it coming.
He totally had it coming.
Should get one card in your life. It's, you get it with your Social Security card. It's called a "He Had It Coming" card, and you can play it one time.
Just like he had that coming.
He had it coming.
Stay tuned. More next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's got it better than us?
No way!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more, exclusively at America First Credit Union. I don't want to speak for them, Ben, but maybe the future debit card of the Utah Dream Coats.
Okay.
Or just the Utah Dream Coat.
Just the singular.
Because it's a Technicolor Dream Coat.
Yeah.
There aren't multiple coats. There's only one coat.
It's like the Blue Jackets, but the Dream Coats. Dream Coat.
But the Dream Coat. You like coats?
I'd do coats.
This is our idea for the name of the hockey team.
Dream Coats.
I think it's pretty rad.
It's not the worst name. Hey, KSLSports.com right now, you can find it on Twitter, at Jake and Ben, wherever you find us. KSL Sports on Twitter. The plane just arrived. Players coming off in their Utah hockey gear. It's pretty cool. Go see it at KSLSports.com or find it on Twitter at KSL Sports.
Gorgeous weather. I'm looking at it right now. The snow-capped mountains in the background.
Yeah.
Be pretty sweet. If this is their first taste of Utah, not bad.
They're going to be pretty thrilled about it.
Now, I hope they don't suffer from allergies.
Going to get some red eyes.
Because there's some pollen out there.
It's in the air.
But it is gorgeous. And it is cool watching this happen. What a cool thing if you're one of these players, you know, guys coming in, especially if you're used to playing in some sort of makeshift college arena.
With no fanfare?
With eight people there to watch you.
Absolutely.
Saying, go Utes!
No, this is awesome. This is very cool. This is a historic day.
Now, when do we get them their dream coats?
When do the dream coats come?
When do they arrive? And how do we get the dream coats in this bracket?
I mean,
the possibilities are endless.
Let's just trademark the name, and people will see that it's been trademarked, and they will just assume that somebody important did it.
Yeah, and then get on board.
And then get on board.
Donnie himself could be, like, I don't want to say mascot, because that seems beneath him, but, like, ambassador.
He could drive the Zamboni.
Oh!
The Donnie Nailed Zamboni. It.
With a big coat? The coat. Rocking the coat?
Singing.
Oh, singing! Oh!
It's low impact at
dude,
this point.
You could charge like $1,000 a ticket for Donnie alone. Yeah. That's before we even get to the hockey.
Don't even need the gate anymore.
It's a Zamboni residency.
The first ever.
Donnie, you got to do 3 songs a night.
Yeah. Before the first intermission, the second intermission, there's 18 minutes. You got to fill 12 of them.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Easy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he fills way more than that in Vegas. Is he still doing his thing in Vegas?
I would have no idea.
You wouldn't want to have to outbid Vegas, you know. You want Donnie to be a little bit like, yeah, I need a gig.
Who cares? Spare no expense. This is the first year. It's the hockey team. It's the Dream Coats.
Have you ever seen the list of out there of how much money it takes to book a famous artist for a private party? Like the amount of money it takes to book like Elton John,
yeah.
You know, to get those guys off the couch. Who was it? Didn't Rihanna play a wedding in Thailand or something recently?
He was in the Middle East, but yeah, regardless.
You know?
Yeah.
If you, I wonder what Donnie's number is. Like, if I wanted Donnie to play in my backyard today.
Right. Is it a quarter mil? Is it higher than that? I think you could get him for a quarter mil.
A quarter mil is a lot. I bet.
You think it's less than that?
No, I don't know if it's less than that or not, but the number isn't. Well, I think Elton's back in the day, I think it was like $1 million.
Okay. So we're.
So 250 might be a little short. But it is more. It is more reachable. Yeah. I'm sure Donnie himself would say, Sir Elton John.
Not too bad. Know?
But if you can get Elton John off the couch for a mil.
All right. Let's raise $1 million to get the Dream Coats featuring Donny Osmond.
Featuring Donny Osmond.
On the Zamboni.
Speaking of, that's what I'm saying. Putting your community's best foot forward. Do we have a better foot than Donny Osmond?
Marie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, both. Like I said earlier, like two Osmonds.
Dueling Zambonis.
Have them do an act. They're
the
like
old,
some of
the best
in the world.
Variety show, right? They've done it before. Jazz fans are going through it right now. Not to switch up too dramatically. Rudy Gobert's playing out of his mind. Because Rudy's a great player. Rudy was a great playoff player here. Rudy was not always set up for success in the playoffs here.
I agree.
He's set up for a ton of success right now. Donovan Mitchell's up 2-0 with his team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, on the Orlando Magic. And as a result, I think a lot of Jazz fans are really going through it right now.
I don't think that they're going to go any further, really, than they did with the Jazz, though.
Okay, so that is where I was this morning on this whole process, because I'm thinking about our show and thinking about what I'm going to write about and all these different things. We know Cleveland is a dead man walking and Orlando is the final meal.
I would guess, yeah.
They have T-bone steak. They've got lobster or whatever they got. They've got it made right now. They're sitting down to the best meal of their life. And tomorrow is the electric chair named Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, they're going nowhere.
They're
going
to get probably swept. And it's probably going to be so disheartening that it washes away all the goodwill you have of beating the Orlando Magic in the first round. Which, by the way, you still have to do. You're only up 2-0 and you've only won two games at home.
Yeah.
Like, the series is not over in any of these. But I do think Cleveland's going to advance out of the first round. Minnesota is really deep. They've got a superstar player in Anthony Edwards. And they have a lot of really good role players. I think Rudy Gobert is their second best player. But they have a bunch of top-tier role players around him. Mike Conley's a great role player. Jaden McDaniels is a great role player.
They could go to the conference final.
They could absolutely make a conference finals run. They are going to face...
I think they're
the
better.
The problem is they're going to face the Denver Nuggets in the second round.
They get Denver.
They're third, right?
Yeah, so they do get Denver in the second round. I was thinking they get Oklahoma City. You're right.
On the road.
Because they'd be a much better matchup against Oklahoma City. I think they'd win that series, in fact.
Now, here's the truth.
But Denver is a tough one. Yeah, so neither of these teams are going any further than they did with the Jazz.
I think Minnesota is good enough to beat Denver. I actually do. Now, they're going to need to be perfect. You're going to have to play perfect to beat Denver. They are good enough. I am not betting on it. I would take Denver 80% of the time. And look, Denver lost two games in the second round last year to the Phoenix Suns and then righted the ship, swept the Lakers. I think lost one game to Miami. I think they won that in five, right? They lost one home game. So I expect Denver to get back to the finals. I expect them to beat the Timberwolves in the next round. I know the Cavs are going to lose in the next round. And I wonder if that will offer some reprieve to Jazz fans. But right now, this is as bad as it gets because not only is Rudy playing awesome and he's going to be named the Defensive Player of the Year next week, and Donovan's scoring 28 points a game right now in the playoffs just like he did in Utah. Mike Conley was hitting shots yesterday just to rub salt in the wound. Somehow Nikhil Alexander-Walker has turned into...
He's a baller.
The same player he was at Vautech. Like he's
Hokey.
Turned into the
yeah.
guy again. Where
you know what I was like? He always guarded. I always liked that about him.
New Orleans gave up on him. Portland gave up on him. I mean, Portland traded him for a hurt Joe Ingles that was never going to suit up.
Yeah.
That was crazy. They were like, yeah, just take him. We don't need him. He's not going to do anything here. The Jazz couldn't quite figure it out. And I will tell you, honestly, he was very open about it. He had a really hard time emotionally adapting to the NBA. Like, he had a hard time finding comfort and a rhythm and just like a – like, he just was not a – he didn't seem very happy. And he talked a lot about, like – what his therapist talked to him about and how heavy that was for him and how hard it was. I'm thrilled for him, the person, that he is. He's seemingly happy.
He's playing well.
And is really playing well in Minnesota. But yeah, there's a real chance that they both get eliminated in the second round. And then all these major issues that we knew they were facing anyways of why the Jazz threw these grenades at these teams, which is Rudy's going to be making $50 million, and Rudy's awesome. Is he $50 million awesome? And does Donovan Mitchell want to live in Cleveland? And I think all those questions are going to prop right back up.
I gave Danny Ainge on this show, of course, we gave him a lot of credit for being bold when the moves were made. And I still believe that. But in hindsight, it's not, I don't look at it as like, what if they would have kept it together? I look at it more like, was it that bold or was it a no-brainer? And the reason I pose that question, Ben, is one, remember how clunky the final season with those two was. It was a disaster. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
And I don't think Quinn Snyder was coming back. So that is, in and of itself, is a predicate for possible change. And then if you believe people who tell you, and I think you believe this, Ben, Donovan basically told him he's not re-signing. And, of course, he's not going to re-sign in Cleveland either, and we're seeing it play out there.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So it was clunky to begin with.
Or if he does, he could even sign and then demand a trade in a year, yeah. But he's not long for Cleveland.
He's not, and he certainly wasn't long for
Utah. Yeah.
And so do you keep the clunkiness together in order to go nowhere, treading water for a couple of years, trying to convince Donovan Mitchell to stay? Or do you believe what he says and you need to figure out what your exit strategy is from Donovan Mitchell? And then a couple of things happened, that were absolutely true. One, Donovan was never going to be more valuable than he was at that moment. And that value would decrease with each passing day. And two, and we talked about this a great deal on the show, there was never one foot in, one foot out. That was not the smart way to go. It was either keep both or trade both. Keep Donovan and Rudy or trade Donovan and Rudy.
Yeah.
Doing the halfway thing wasn't going to work. You couldn't rebuild on the fly around Rudy and you couldn't rebuild on the fly around Donovan. So in retrospect, I think that decision was actually pretty easy. So what would folks be complaining about with Donovan and Rudy? In fact, wish them the best. Go out there and ball. Go out there and dominate. This, I believe even more today, was the right move for the Jazz going into the rebuild. Now, we can get into the weeds on have they made the right decisions since that? And I'd be willing to, you know, hear different opinions on a lot of that sort of thing. But the decision to go down this road, I think, was actually more of a no-brainer than we even thought at the time.
It's easy to forget how stuck the Jazz were because they did not have future trade or draft assets.
They were a tax team.
The wiggle room was quickly running out. You were going to lose players like Bojan Bogdanovic, probably Jordan Clarkson. You maybe could have kept Jordan around. But you were going to start losing major pieces without being able to replace them because the only reason you could have re-signed them was because they were bird rights players that you can go over the salary cap to resign.
The only reason they could afford Mike Conley was because Donovan and Rudy were still in their rookie process.
Yeah.
So Mike Conley was coming off the books. Well, let me put it this way, because they re-signed Mike Conley for less, but that takes up, like, Rudy and Donovan took up the cap relief that gave you and then some. So Rudy, of course, off his rookie extension. Donovan had just signed the rookie extension for the max amount of money. Like, they had nowhere to go. David James always used the neighborhood analogy, mm-hmm. Like you've come to the end of a cul-de-sac, which strangely happened to me this morning because there was a fire in Holiday/Cottonwood Heights,
mm-hmm.
Shutting off one of those main roads. So I had to, like, wander around a cul-de-sac to figure out how to get out of there. But what were they going to do, you know? And so I get it to fans, you know, we have a little FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, a little what if going on. But honestly, if you want to talk about what was best for the franchise, that might have been the only thing to do, honestly.
And I agree with you.
You told me they were broken.
Oh, they were broken. Yeah, that was broken. Now, there were ways they could have avoided being broken. They made a lot of mistakes.
They should have played, what's his name more?
Jared Butler.
Okay,
well, here's the truth, going back to that. The Jazz had the 30th pick in that draft. And again, every team can say, what if we had drafted this guy late in the first round? The Jazz are not the only team. But here is the truth. Look at how good Minnesota is right now. Some of it is because they have hit on their late round draft picks. That you need to be good in those spots where you have an opportunity to improve. And when you blow it, especially when you only have thin margins to add to your roster because you have late first round picks, when you blow those picks, it does matter more than the Jazz if Bryce Sensabaugh doesn't turn into a guy, because they've got all these future draft picks going forward. Bryce Sensabaugh is not that important to the Utah Jazz. If he hits, great. But when you're a team like the Jazz who had no wiggle room financially, you have to hit on those late picks. And we already talked about drafting Udoka Azubuike over Desmond Bane or Jaden McDaniels, who last night was a superstar. The Jazz in 2021, again, have the 30th pick in the draft. They trade it to trade back to draft Jared Butler. Now, look, I was as guilty as anyone. I thought Jared Butler was a really good player in college. Drafted five players after Santi Aldama, who was the 30th pick that the Jazz traded, was a kid named Herbert Jones, who's starting right now for the New Orleans Pelicans and is exactly Jaden McDaniels. He might be the best defensive wing in the NBA. He's right up there in that conversation. Right behind him is Miles McBride, who's playing incredibly well for the New York Knicks as a backup point guard. Would have been really good on those Donovan Mitchell Jazz teams. And two picks behind him is Ayo Dosunmu, who's a great player for the Bulls. Like, there are players on the board that fit what you need, that would have made you better, that you whiffed on for the Jared Butlers or for the Udoka Azubuikes. And when you get those wrong, they do actually really matter. And I know that you can't predict the future, but when you don't get those right, it hurts your franchise and you get more broken where you can't repair it.
I get your point, but I would argue that I don't care where the pick is. And maybe this is not arguing. Maybe this is broadening out a little bit. It doesn't help you to miss at 9 either.
It doesn't
help you to miss at 15. The point is you have X number of picks, whatever that is. And however many of those you actually make, because there's no way the Jazz are making all these picks, you have to hit on X percent.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter where the picks are, honestly. And I've talked to people over there with the Jazz are saying, we want bites at the apple. We want a lot of bites at the apple.
Because
we
they know they're not going to be perfect.
Right. Because nobody is.
Right.
Nobody is perfect when it comes to talent evaluation. Back to your point, for these late first round picks, well, the whole league has to pass on them. Frank Layden had a great saying, and I won't get it right, I'm sure, but he was talking about John and Carl. He said, if we would have known they would have been this good, we would have traded it up to take them at number one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so, yeah, you got to hit on your late first-round picks, I suppose. But it doesn't matter where it is. You got to hit. The Jazz hit with Paul Millsap. Do we care that he was drafted right in the second round?
27 with Rudy Gobert. You hit. You also hit at 14 with Donovan Mitchell.
The Jazz totally missed with Morris Almond at like 21.
22, yeah.
22. Is that what it was?
I think it was. Yeah.
You know, the Jazz took, who was old?
25, excuse me.
Who was the old brittle feet?
Curtis Borchard. Should have taken Carlos Boozer.
You totally missed on old no feet.
Yep.
They got the medicals on him. They're like, I don't know how this guy stands. Draft that guy.
Take him. No one else wants him. We do.
But your percentage, your batting average has to be at a certain point. Because it isn't realistic to expect that, you know, I'm not convinced. Let me put it this way, Ben. I'm not convinced the Jazz went 3-for-3 in the first round last year.
No.
I saw some of that, though, during the season.
Absolutely.
Like, the good news is the Jazz hit on all their picks. Odds are they didn't. But if they hit on one and kind of hit on another, then that actually was a really good draft, if you put it into perspective like that. And who cares if the pick was 30 or 20 or 16 or number 9? What did everybody say, including yourself, at the beginning of the year? Well, Taylor Hendricks went 9, but Keontae George is going to be the better player right away. True.
Right.
Who has the higher ceiling?
Probably Taylor. Maybe Keontae.
I'd say definitely Taylor. But what are the odds of him getting to his ceiling?
Sure.
I mean, this all falls into the calculation. You know what I mean?
Was the 2013 draft for the Jazz successful? They drafted a kid named Trey Burke at number 9 and a kid named Rudy Gobert at 27.
Yes.
Was Trey Burke a bust?
Yes.
Was Rudy Gobert a superstar?
Yes.
Okay. Great draft.
That's it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's it.
It doesn't matter where you pick him. You're right.
Right. So I'm not, you see what I'm saying? I'm not really disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, like, broadly speaking, like, and it comes back to what Justin Zanuck said. You can find talent in the draft. You'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's harder, or maybe the odds go down or whatever, but we're still talking about you got to find your dudes.
Yep. And bringing this back somewhat full circle, we saw where the Jazz didn't and where it was really painful for them at the end of the Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell era.
How many top draft picks did Minnesota blow in this whole process of getting to where they are now? Like lottery picks.
Johnny Flynn.
Yeah, they drafted two point guards in one draft.
Over Steph Curry.
Yeah, how many of these? But then they hit in Jaden McDaniels in the late first round. Well, who cares? You got to hit. Butch Scott Wednesday is next. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Time for What You Got Wednesday, where if you're new to the show, Ben and I do 2 5 selection drafts, one sports related, one not. Although today's are both kind of sports related, I should say. But let's see, Ben, who won last week? Ooh, I won one, you won one.
And he won the one he was salty about, which I feel like people backed him up and defended, Ben.
I won best sports GMs 66-34.
Okay.
And you won best people named Kevin or Young 60-40.
Even without Young Frankenstein.
Even without Young Frankenstein.
See if we can do without getting in a fight this time.
We'll do our best. What is today's sports-related topic?
It is top 5 second chances in sports.
Okay.
In honor of Zach Wilson getting a second chance.
Okay.
I think this will be interesting.
This is a little difficult.
It is difficult, and the criteria can really vary on this, so we'll see if we fight about this one, because we might.
Okay.
You have the first pick.
Is there an obvious choice?
No, because the definition can vary so vastly.
Yeah, it really can.
Vastly.
Okay. I'm going to go with, this is more similar to the Zach Wilson route. I'm going to go with Steve Young. Steve Young, drafted by Tampa Bay.
In not even the NFL, because he chose the wrong league.
Well, I mean, he got a bunch of money early, right?
Yeah, for to go with the USFL, and then that didn't turn out to be a thing.
And then switches to the NFL. Plays for Tampa for 2 years, isn't whatever. Is a full-time starter, but whatever. Not great, and then goes over and backs up Joe Montana and becomes a superstar. So Steve Young is, when I think of the poster boy of this type of draft, but I get that this is, like you said, it's a wide landscape.
I think it's a good,
Steve
it's a good pick.
Yeah.
It's a good pick.
Okay.
I don't know if this is an obvious number two or even that you were thinking of it, but I just think it's a great example of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Pedro Martinez.
Okay. Good pick. Started with Cleveland?
Started with my beloved Montreal Expos.
Oh, Montreal.
And
that's
was
right.
Ace and probably the best pitcher in baseball, but nobody ever knew it because he pitched in Montreal. And then he ends up with the Red Sox and, I mean, was the best player on a team that broke that curse or whatever it is.
Is so. In the conversation for the greatest pitcher of all time.
Yep.
In his prime. Was unhittable. Was just unreal.
Pedro Martinez.
Good pick. All right. I'm going to double down here, even though I hate this player and it's the exact same situation. Brett Favre. Starting in Atlanta. Not doing anything. He only was there for 1 year. It's not like anyone remembers the Brett Favre era. I hope people aren't. Maybe we even need to put in brackets here the team that we're going from Expos to Red Sox.
Yeah, because it has to be their second chance. I thought about this.
It is not Brett Favre going from Green Bay to the Jets or Jets to the Vikings.
No.
It is Atlanta
chance.
To Green Bay.
Yeah.
It is this next opportunity that he had to become a guy, and he became a guy.
You couldn't pick LeBron with the Cavs again.
Right.
That's third.
Okay, now, technically, if you wanted to pick that and said that's his second chance in Cleveland, I would have let that slide, but okay, that's fine.
Well, how about LeBron with the Lakers?
Sure.
Doesn't count.
It's his third team. Fourth stop. Yeah.
All right. Man, I don't know why, but I'm in baseball mode.
Okay.
Greg Maddux.
Okay.
Started off with the Cubs. The Cubs gave up on Greg Maddux.
I don't like him. I don't think he has, quote unquote,
I don't think he's got it.
It.
Doesn't have that it factor.
And then, yeah, I mean, we're talking about Pedro maybe being the best prime, best career top to bottom.
Might have been
Maddux is in that combo.
Yeah, because it lasted.
I mean, Nolan Ryan, but.
But it lasted forever because he didn't throw hard.
Oh, and then I saw him at the end of his career, coincidentally, again with the Cubs.
God, who was that other? And somebody, I always forget his name. Somebody will tweet me. A big hitter who's also from Vegas. Have you seen that video? It's from, I think it might have even been from the pandemic, where they're in Vegas and he's taking batting practice and it's just some guy goes out to pitch BP, you know? And all of a sudden just smoking him,
mm-hmm.
like making it completely hard to hit or whatever. And then it's Greg Maddux and his guys because he's a Vegas guy. Pretty hilarious.
All right, I've got to mix this up because mine could be all quarterbacks. I'll go baseball, and actually I'll do the exact same thing you did. I'll go Montreal to second stop. I will go the big unit, Randy Johnson, who starts with the Expos and then ends up with the Mariners and becomes the big unit. And actually doesn't even have his best career success now.
Until Arizona.
Again,
I know, that makes it complicated. I thought about that one.
One of the best pitchers we've ever seen. I mean, he's one of the best of my life in the conversation for the best left-handed pitcher of all time. But the big unit, Randy Johnson, so cool. The coolest player. Yeah, the Yankees stop nonsense. Won the World Series, won World Series MVP. But he won five Cy Youngs in the... Several of them came in Seattle, his best stop.
And went nowhere. I'd say his best stop was Arizona. And there was Houston in the middle of there, too, which was weird.
I think that's totally fine. But Seattle is where I remember him. It's where he was throughout my, like, the core of my youth, 1990 to 1997. Randy Johnson, the big unit.
All right. Three for me. I should probably... Switch sports.
Wouldn't hurt.
Let's see. I gotta think of a good, like a really good basketball one. Oh, you know what? Kareem.
Okay.
Kareem, a great success in Milwaukee.
Won a
sure.
title.
Yeah, was awesome. But then to be, you know, Cap, and at the beginning of the Showtime Lakers and all that stuff, all-time NBA leading scorer, Kareem.
Greatest high school and college basketball player of all time, probably. And then...
Crazy how good he was in Milwaukee, but then everybody remembers him as a Laker.
Yeah. He's one of the five greatest NBA players of all time, no question about it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Up until recently, the greatest scorer in NBA history. I think that's the right move. I hate to just piggytail off of everything you're doing, but I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go with Shaq. She's like, Shaq was awesome. Shaq was named to the 50th anniversary team as a member of the Orlando Magic, right? And then goes and wins three titles in L.A. and, as I have said, is the most dominant player I've ever seen in my basketball-watching career. It's not the true, oh, man, we're glad Shaq made it. He could have won a title. He would have won a title had he stayed in Orlando. The same way Kareem would have won more titles in Milwaukee, but made the jump.
How it is.
That's how it is.
I really feel like this... This one is going to lose it for me, honestly. But
okay.
But it might be the answer.
Okay.
Except for there's a flaw in the argument, too, but whatever. Barry Bonds.
Okay.
I mean, he was great in Pittsburgh.
He's not unlike Shaq.
But he became legendary in San Francisco. Never won a World Series, which is the hole in the argument, per se. But
yeah.
Broke the home run record, turned himself into a completely different player.
If you don't care about steroids... He is, bar none, the Wayne Gretzky far and away greatest player of all time.
He hit all those home runs like walking three times a game. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
that,
they never pitched
to him. Teams would never, ever pitch to him, and that one pitch he threw to him, he hit it into the stupid bay. And don't tell Lloyd that I took Bonds either, but...
Yeah, Bonds. I mean, unbelievable. His stats in his prime are never going to be touched. And it's too bad that they are spoiled because of the steroid...
And rumors. They are.
But they are.
But it did happen.
Sarah, what pick is this? This is five for me? Oh, man. I've wasted all my picks. I've wasted my life. Have you done? Was that your fifth? Are you done? No, you're going to have one more after
me. No, I'll have one
more. Do I take the one you want, or do I take a better pick? I guess I'm just going to go, I'll let you have the guy I think you want to draft fifth, the creative one. I'm just going to go Drew Brees. Drew Brees starts with the Chargers, wins a Super Bowl with the Saints. Everyone's going to remember him as being a member of the Saints. All-star player, superstar player, was one of the best quarterbacks of our lifetime. Drew Brees.
Kyle, now I don't know who you think I should pick. Oh. Now I feel like I'm...
This is a little bit more... It's a more of a creative second chance.
Really?
Not switching teams.
Not switching teams.
Oh, in fact, I think there's a couple here that would fit. But anyways.
Man, I gotta get it together here. Now I feel like I shouldn't drag my feet though, because we're running out of time. So I should figure out exactly who I'm going to pick here. But now I'm
Sarah's so tired.
Now I'm a little bit flummoxed. And now I can't think of anybody because you've got me all.
Okay.
You've got
tangled
me
up.
All.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
I'm sorry.
Let's see here. You know what? Whatever. I'm gonna go where my mind was at. Ray Allen.
Okay, great.
The second chance in Boston.
Well, so this goes against your rule, because technically Boston was his third team.
Was he Milwaukee?
Because he goes Milwaukee, Seattle. But if you want to take it, take it. I will give you Ray Allen. I have no problem.
That goes against
take Ray
my
Allen.
Thing.
Take Ray Allen. We need to move. Take Ray Allen.
That's what do you mean we need to move?
We run out of time.
Fine. I'll take Michael Vick.
Okay, Mike Vick.
Coming back from prison and playing in the NFL is a great second chance at life, not just football. Who'd you think I was going to take?
Andre Agassi.
Oh, I should have taken Andre. Overcame Brooke Shields.
Overcame.
Yeah,
well,
you know what?
And I had serious depression. And
I had thought about that going
addiction.
In. I had thought about that going into the draft and
or
didn't write it.
Crystal meth or whatever it was.
Didn't write it down. I should have.
Other names? Technically, it was his third team, so maybe it wouldn't have counted. Kurt Warner. He had one. Didn't he play one season in New York or something before he ended up in Arizona?
That would have counted, though, because he was, I mean, St. Louis, for all intents and purposes, was his first chance.
You could have drafted, like Andre Agassi, Tiger Woods, and then Charles Barkley with the Suns, leaving Philadelphia.
All right, those are good. Yeah. All right. Yeah, recap it for us.
Okay, really quick. Jake, you had one. Pedro Martinez, two. Greg Maddux, three. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, four. Barry Bonds, five. Michael Vick. Ben, you had one, Steve Young, two, Brett Favre, three, Randy Johnson, four, Shaq, and five, Drew Brees.
Okay.
All right. Our not sports, kind of sports related one is?
So we have a poll up on KSLSports.com where you can vote for what team name you want for the NHL team here in Utah.
We are going off the names that are provided.
Yes.
We are not making up our own
We're
names.
We're not making up our own names. Although, you know, Dreamcoats is cool, but
yeah, Dreamcoats is cool.
It's not on there, so there's 13 names that you can choose from. Rank them best to worst.
I'm not kidding. Dreamcoats is awesome. I'm serious. That would be an awesome team name.
I love it.
And but that doesn't count.
It doesn't count. All right.
The possibilities are limitless.
Jake's number one? Okay.
Well, should I take the one that everybody seems to like?
Sure.
I guess it'll get me votes. I'll go with the Yetis.
Okay. And I'm going to go with the other one everyone likes, which is the Outlaws, which I think if branded correctly, can do it right. I don't necessarily need it to be like a certain brand of person, but...
Like what would... It sounds like you're trying to be sensitive to something.
I am.
I don't get it.
Okay. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Like Butch Cassidy, bro.
No, right. Exactly. If that's what we want to lean into, lean into that. Lean into the history of the Wild West in Utah, not the idea that you're like... Don't tread on me, Outlaws. Like, that's more the don't lean into that imagery.
I don't think they would.
No, I would
I think
hope
everybody,
not.
I think I everybody's thinking Butch Cassidy.
I'm with you.
I'm going to go with number two.
Make the mascot named the kid. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
The one
like
I
that.
Really like, which probably won't win, but whatever. I like the Utah Hockey Club.
I actually really like that as well. I think that's a very good one.
Boring.
It is, and it's unique, and I think that's part of it. I will go with, so here's what I'm going to do. Let's wipe off Utah HC, which is the abbreviation of Utah Hockey Club, because technically they're two different things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to do that at all.
Yeah.
Let's go with the, I'll go with the, I guess I'll go with the Fury. It's not my favorite, but I get behind the Fury.
All right, I'm going to pick this one because of some random hippie hockey fan I met on Saturday. Mm. The Raptors.
If Toronto didn't already have an NBA team named the Raptors, it would probably be my top choice.
That's a different sport.
It's a different sport. I don't know if they have Raptors in Toronto. They must. But we have there is a Utah Raptor.
We're famous for dinosaurs.
We are famous for dinosaurs. So I'm all for it. I will go with the Rattlers. I like the Rattlers. I actually think that's a good name.
All right. I'm going to take, because I think the logo is rad, I'm going to take the Utah Mountaineers.
I like Mountaineers as a name. I'm with you.
Mountains. So we can get rid of the T?
Mountains.
They should actually just get rid of the T in the name.
Sure. I learned the other day the word restaurateur has no N in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Just drop letters. We can drop letters. We're making it up as we go. English is a bad language. Black Diamonds. Some ski.
I like that one because, I like to ski, but do enough people know what that reference is?
No, and one of the hard parts is there's already the Blackhawks, so, are you going to take another color that already exists? But it is not uncommon in the NHL to have a color, the Blue Jackets, the Blackhawks, the Golden Knights. That is a thing that we do in hockey.
Also, I feel like the logo could help. If it's a good logo, I feel like you could understand what it means.
Well, you can't have a princess cut diamond. It's got to be the black diamond that you see up on the mountain. And I've seen a lot of mock-ups that have a diamond that's black. It's no, that's not it at all.
Because that doesn't explain what it does. People are going to say, well, black diamond.
Black
what are you talking
diamond?
About?
What are you talking? Yeah, what is that?
Is this my last one, Sarah? I'm going with this because it was the beloved mascot of my elementary school, the Utah Olympians.
Yeah, that's what I was going to take fifth.
And I think we got the Olympics coming, so maybe that'd be cool. The Olympians.
All right, give me the Venom. That's fine. I'll take the Venom. I don't love the Blizzard just because it's so close to the
Avalanche. What about the cornices?
Sure. Yeah, right.
The cornice?
The wind chill. I thought the fog, if it wasn't a sign of all the things we kind of do wrong, I think the fog would be a cool name.
Like the Velvet Fog.
Yeah, like the Velvet Fog. Mel Torme.
Yeah. But you could have Mel rest his soul as an AI mascot.
I think the Fog is actually a really cool name. It's just not actually a great part of what's going on in our world.
What, heavy fog?
Well, the smog part of it is not cool.
Well, that's smog.
I know, it's different.
Fog.
I like the fog.
Ben,
and we get foggy.
Words have meaning.
They do. I'm with you. But we lack nuance at times. Give me the fog, but it's not on the list.
And by the way, I've told you, I'm totally buying the smog thing as a good thing.
Okay, you're pro-smog.
I'm pro-smog.
When you and I are on ventilators when we're 56 years old trying to do the show through raspy voices, you might
raspy,
feel differently.
Raspy is good.
All right, quick recap. Jake, you had 1, Yetis, 2, Utah Hockey Club, 3, the Raptors, 4, Mountaineers, 5, Olympians. Ben, you had 1, Outlaws, 2, Fury, 3, Rattlers, 4, Black Diamonds, and 5, Venom.
All right.
I still like the Dream Coats and the Fog better.
Oh, Dream Coats.
I'm not kidding. The Dream Coats would be the best name.
Amazing.
That's the best name I've heard.
I mean, I guess everybody wouldn't know what that reference is either, but yet Dream Coats
sounds
rad.
You know what? My favorite name in all of sports is the Ravens, and it's because it is a step removed from a Baltimore person, right? It's a thing removed from a thing that probably not everybody knows. The Dream Coats is a thing removed from a thing. Donny Osmond is a local celebrity, and it's maybe the thing he's most known for over the last 20 years.
Oh, man, I doubt that. Actually, he's famous for lots of stuff.
No, but I mean the last 20.
Okay.
If you were to reinvent him over the last 20,
right,
it's probably his run as Joseph.
All right, we'll give away some tickets on a Wednesday. Coming up next, stay tuned. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You don't sense urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Back shoulder lover, always hot beneath the
Jacob in. It's Win Ticket Wednesday, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to get a pair of tickets to go see Joe Perry, Steven Tyler, and Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 27th, coming up of this year. Our 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Ben, your favorite Aerosmith song is?
Dream On. It's the only Aerosmith song.
That's the only one you like?
It's up there.
I don't know. Most of, like, Walk This Way, and that was on Toys in the Attic. That was a really good album. Had a bunch of good stuff on it. But Dream On's probably my favorite, too. You know, that was their first hit.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like anything else they do. I don't mind Janie's Got a Gun, but it's just a weird song.
You know why a lot they were passed up a bunch of times is because everybody thought that they were trying to copy the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we don't need a Rolling Stones cover band.
We don't need a knockoff. Yeah. Which is ironic because the Rolling Stones started as a cover band. But
you could see why. Steven Tyler with they both have the lips thing going
absolutely.
For themselves and kind of the feminine vibe and then the junky looking guitar player. It really was the same band.
Yeah. Yeah, they found the formula and recreated it. Not as well.
But they're from Boston. They're an American band.
I am...
like Grand Funk Railroad.
Watching a handful of NHL players, which again is the funny part. It's just like the team is not all that complete. There's just a lot of players you've got to add or bring up or draft or sign this offseason. But watching them, what is it, Millionaire or TAC Air? What's it called now?
What?
What's the airport?
Millionaire.
Is it Millionaire?
Yeah.
It's not TAC Air? It's not
I don't know. Do I look like I'm flying Millionaire?
Sometimes.
Really?
You have a golf shirt on. You have a collar on your shirt. Hey, it's cool to see them walk up and the fans that they got out there. And it's going to be cool to see them at the Delta Center coming up today, 4 o'clock, probably through, I'd imagine, 6-ish, is when the party's going to go. I think it's going to be really cool. So go down. Go check them out.
Now, if
meet some of these players.
Really wanted to impress them, they would have flown them into Hill with like a fighter escort or something.
Yeah, have an escort.
That'd be pretty rad.
Get the F-16s out. Get the Warthogs out.
Why didn't
get
we
the
A-10s. Do that?
Where are the A-10s?
I thought we were putting our best foot forward.
Yeah. Fly them in at mock speed. Well, a lot of these guys have babies. Like, well, one of the guys came down carrying a baby.
Well, they can fly commercial.
Or put the baby in the cockpit.
Yeah, right, whatever. You could still fly in the private plane. Just land at Hill and have a couple of fighters taking you in.
Sure.
I answer phone calls for 2 seconds. What is happening?
Yeah, we went off the rails.
Well, we were talking about flying into town with the hockey team and again, putting our best foot forward. And isn't that being escorted in by what's the best fighter plane these days up at Hill? It's got to be wicked awesome, right?
Yeah.
We were up there. I went to that museum for the first time in like 30 years
or
something like
that. Oh, man, it's
so cool. So killer.
There's what, 50 planes there?
At least.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, we had a great time.
Yep. Good place to take the kids. I think it's free, right? The outdoor part is free. Is the indoor part still free?
I believe so. If it wasn't free, it was basically free.
Yeah. No, that's a cool.
Such
a really
cool resource.
Thing to do.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anyways, hey, see everybody tonight at the party. I hope you're there. I'm going
to
be there.
Jacob Mann, we'll talk to you tomorrow. 97.5
KSL
Sports Zone.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.